Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Do you ever wish that you were more powerful? Many of us have hopes and aspirations of affecting change, of making the world a better place, of stamping our influence to make things more enlightened or to make things of a higher vibration. But Aldous Huxley said, there's only one corner of the universe that you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self. And at first, I thought, wow, I don't know, because we can affect other change in the world, but I'm going to tell you this. If you want to have more influence in the world, you definitely begin with having more influence over yourself. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich Show. Our gifted host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich family, Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hi, McSweens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve in Florida.
Hi, Steve Q. Good morning.
Morning, Mahara fam. Andre from Jacksonville.
Andre, what's happening in Jacksonville?
Well, it's a beautiful sunny morning down here in the Jayville. How about yourself in the ATL?
It is gorgeous. The sun is shining on the water, and the ducks are shaking their tail feathers.
Awesome.
The birds are a-singing. What's happening, people?
Good morning, the Harris Big and Grow Rich family. How you doing? I'm shaking my tail feather.
Get up and shake your tail feather, Elizabeth.
Good morning. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hey, Adele.
Hi, Elizabeth. Mahara and everyone. Have a great weekend, everyone.
We're planning
you
on
too.
It.
You too.
Thank you, babe.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Adele, Mahara, everybody, Andre.
Morning, sweetie.
Hi, lovely.
I'm excited to get this call pumped up and ready to go.
Me
too.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Amy.
Hell yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, Paul. I'm
good.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. It's good to hear your voices this morning.
Same here.
Good morning.
Adele, how are
Lori
you?
Lori from the Great Northwest.
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Hey, doing good. Hey, Lori.
Awesome.
Hey. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy year.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey,
Kathy.
Hey, beautiful people.
Beautiful people.
Good morning.
Good
you know,
morning.
So quiet.
Is Mahara on the line? I thought I heard Mahara.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
We're all here.
The gang's all here.
I'm soaking in the good.
Arnita in Columbus, good morning.
Hey, Arnita.
Hey, Arnita.
Hi, Arnita.
Hey, if you've never said your name before, today's a good day to do that. Freedom Friday.
Freedom Friday.
Yes, Goldie and Boston.
Who's that?
John Eric Newman here from North Carolina.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're glad you're Hi, Mahara. Good morning. It's Hyacinth from New Jersey.
Hey, Hyacinth.
Hello, Hyacinth. Good morning and welcome.
Morning. Thank you.
Carolyn is from California. Hi, everybody.
Hey, beautiful.
Good morning, Mahara. Charity from New York. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Charity.
I am doing awesome. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, family.
Hi, family.
Hello.
Hi, Charity.
Well, hey, good morning, everyone. It is Freedom Friday, as I heard a couple of people say on the intros this morning. Welcome, February 19, 2016. It is another great day to be alive, guys. It really is. Yesterday, I got word actually last night that a young man in my local area is actually like a second cousin of mine. He's a couple years younger than me. Decided to take his life, and it was sad news, obviously, and have prayers and blessings going out to his family at this difficult time. But as I think about that and how that happens from time to time, I just wanted to remind everyone that life is worth living. You know, life is can be hard sometimes, right? Sometimes it can get us down. I think we all battle with negative thoughts from time to time. And a lot of us have been on this call over 5 years, and a big dedication purpose of the call is to help us to positive charge our minds, right, and get rid of all the negative and be filled with love and life and light. And even so, you know, sometimes I get down. And I just wanted to just remind you guys and me that we're loved, and that we've got a lot to look forward to in life, and that, it's always worthwhile to keep pressing on. It's always worthwhile to, find some strategies that we can utilize to change how we're feeling on the inside if we ever get into one of those down moments. And, speaking of that, one of the things that we do on this call every day as we go through our definite major purpose and self-confidence formula. And I wanted to just remind everybody, you know, I sort of had a little bit of an inner realization yesterday, and that is, from time to time I get super lax on that. I'll get on the call and we'll go through it together, and I'll call that good. I'll be like, yeah, okay, I did it. But I'm going to tell you guys, there's something different about, I think it's good that we do it as a group. I really do. I think it's good that we do it as a group because we remind ourselves of the practice, and it's good to go through it together. However, I believe that there is something very special and personal, and I'll venture to say even sacred, about doing that exercise by ourselves in the morning and in the night. And so I've committed personally, because I was thinking about, as oftentimes I do, I think back about when I had my huge, huge, huge breakthrough, where I went from struggle and pain and frustration and failure to finally starting to have results in my business where I could, achieve some of the goals that I had. And as you all know, if you've been to the website or if you've been on the call, a big key for me was finding the book Think and Grow Rich and starting to do the things that book taught. And primarily at the very top of the list for me was this exercise of the major purpose and self-confidence formula, and doing it with energy and enthusiasm and passion and, an eye to the infinite as I did that, morning and night. And it was almost like, as I think back on that experience that I talk about from time to time, it was almost like I was able to take control and have faith flow throughout the top of my head to the tip of my toe, throughout my spirit. And I was able to sort of like cleanse away doubts and frustrations and fears that seem to attack us, that really do seem to attack us at least in my experience anyway, the stuff seems to continue to come, right? These things seem to continue to pop out at us. However, we do have the ability to control, we do have the ability to do things to get rid of that stuff, you know, to get rid of that stuff and build faith within our lives, build faith. You know, I remember Napoleon Hill, and I don't remember where he said it. It was in one of the books that he wrote. Maybe it was Think and Grow Rich. He said, one of the greatest tragedies that exists is the fact that there is a known method whereby men and women can develop faith. A known method. And then he went on to say, and that so few people engage in it. And what is that known method? It's what he taught us. It's that auto-suggestion that we take seriously and personally, you know, where we have that exercise where we do it a couple times or three times a day. I'll tell you, I had a little bit of a down day yesterday, had some things happen to me. You know, my four-year-old, I was watching my four-year-old son, Cashton, and I just sat down on the couch because I was going to take a little bit of a nap, and he comes running out and says, Dad, I flooded the bathroom. I was like, what? I jumped up and ran back there, and, like, the whole bathroom was flooded. The hall was flooded. Water was pouring into the vents. I could hear it dripping. And so I spent, you know, a couple hours trying to clean that stuff up. And then when I finally got it all cleaned up, and I was a little frustrated because I hadn't gotten started on my work day, I went out to my office, which I now have a little office outside my home. Went out to the office, and I was plugging in an Ethernet cord underneath my standing desk, and while I was down on my knees plugging the cord in, this crack, the speaker fell off my desk and cracked me in the head, right? It's little things, right? Nothing major, but little things where I was just, man, I was just having an off day. You ever have one of those off days where it just seems like everything is stacked against you? I know you guys have had those days where, like, maybe you wake up in the morning and you stub your toe, and then that just starts it. And then, like, all this other stuff happens. Well, anyway, I was having one of those days, and one thing can lead to another, can't it? Like, little thing can lead to little thing can lead to little thing, and next thing you know, you could be in a major bout of depression if you don't catch it. And so I decided that I was going to catch it, and I stood up in my office, and I went through my major definite purpose and self-confidence formula, and then I added on one of the things that I've been learning from Will Wood, who you guys know because we had him on the call, and some of you guys are even more familiar with him, but he talks about doing this king speech where you speak the words that are inside your heart and spirit, and you just proclaim them with power posture, you know, with body language that is, you know, filled with faith and certainty, and you just speak life. You speak who you are. And as I was speaking yesterday after my definite purpose and self-confidence formula, you know, some interesting words came to mind. I was like, I'm filled with light, and the light is coming out, and it is commanding the darkness to dissipate, and things like this. And when I got done, I just was in a much better state, and I was reminded of how important it is for me, at least for me, to do this every day, twice a day, like I did, like I've done in the past several times, like I did back in 2009 when I hit my first income, my first freedom income, like I did back in 2012 when I paid off the mortgage on my house. I took it seriously. I stated these things morning and night, and I got filled with faith in the image that I was, you know, building faith in, and it's just a really, 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 really powerful thing to do, and I think that it's a guard against those things that can sometimes tend to bring us down. So I just wanted to challenge all you guys. I'm actually issuing a challenge to myself. I've decided that for the next 90 days, I'm going to be doing this every morning and every night on my own, in private. Well, maybe with God. I like to think that, you know, it's like a special time that I have with God to build faith in myself. Because, you know, as I think back to that experience I had way back in 2009 when I was walking outside my single white trailer doing this every day, I did have faith. I did have joy. I did have the promise of a better future, as Jim Rohn, you know, likes to say, come into my mind and heart. And I was optimistic and I was excited. And I just had this energy about me that was special. And I call that faith. You know, it's like Jim Rohn, he talks about faith and he says, you can't deny that faith exists because it has an effect. Sort of like radiation, he says. You can't say that radiation doesn't exist just because you can't see it, just like you can't say faith doesn't exist because you can't see it. Faith has an effect. Radiation has an effect. So he says, you know, faith is a real power. And again, you know, how do we develop faith? Well, according to Napoleon Hill, one way is to go through this exercise morning and night. Maybe add in some prayer if you're a praying person. You know, pray to God for faith because I think we need it. I really do. I think we need faith. And it's these little reminders, you know, where I hear about people who let themselves get so attacked by the negative forces and the negativity and the negative thoughts that they'll, you know, do the unthinkable and leave this earth. It's just sad. And it's just a reminder to me that, you know, there are things we can do to keep ourselves positive. There are things we can do to build faith. And just another little note on that, you know, that whole thing. I remember reading in the book The Success System That Never Fails by W. Clement Stone, and he was talking about suicide, and he said he made a decision inside his mind that if he ever got to the point where he felt like his life wasn't worth living to him, that he would remind himself that at least it might be worth something to someone else. And I think that's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Because, you know, aren't our lives always worth something to someone else? Can't they always be worth something to someone else? Can't we use our lives to serve someone in some way that would be valuable to them? Can't we use our lives to, you know, spread happiness and sunshine and good cheer in some way to someone? Our lives are always worth something to someone else. So I love you guys, and I just want you to know that I appreciate you and I believe in you, and it's up to us. I realize it's up to us to do what we need to do to fill our hearts, minds, and souls with the love and light and faith that we need to have. It's up to us. No one's going to do it for us, and it's not just going to happen. You know, I'm realizing it's not just going to happen. We got to take control and do this, because it's like Earl Nightingale says in The Strangest Secret, you know, with the garden spot. He says a garden spot will just automatically grow weeds. You don't have to do anything to a garden spot. It will grow weeds. You could till it, prepare it, make it all nice and fertile and ready for, you know, your crop. And if you just leave it there and don't do anything, it will grow weeds. And isn't that true with our minds and our hearts and our souls? If we don't do what we need to do to plant those seeds of faith and plant those seeds of confidence and plant those seeds of possibility and abundance and prosperity and activity and, you know, all these good things that we're endeavoring to plant. If we don't take the time and if we don't take it serious, we don't take our garden spot seriously, those weeds will grow. The negative thoughts will come. We'll get down, we'll allow the forces of evil to get us down, and we don't want to do that. We want to take control. So I challenge me and you guys, in addition to going through the Definite Major Purpose self-confidence formula on this call today and every day like we do, I want to issue you guys a challenge to do this on your own. And I know a lot of you probably are, so maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe some of you are not. Maybe some of you have in the past, and you've gotten relaxed and slack with it like I have. I want to give you guys a challenge to change your life with me over the next 90 days. Would you guys accept this challenge to every morning and every night by yourself in solitude, maybe outside or in some sort of private place that you have, go through this formula, this self-confidence, and add on a king or a queen speech too. Speak the words that are inside your heart. Speak the words that maybe God plants there for you to speak to yourself. Because, you know, when I think about the word of God, like we were talking about the other day, where, you know, the Bible says, you know, faith, men men and women shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. Sometimes I'm like, well, okay, where does the word of God come from? And, you know, a lot of different answers for that. I think it'd probably be found in a lot of different places. But one place, it seems to me anyway, is from deep inside, from that spot inside that sometimes speaks words to us that seem to be planted there by a more powerful source. That's been my experience anyway. And so if we're going through this definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we get to a spot where we just have some things inside our heart that we speak out loud, you know, maybe those are special messages for us individually. Just something to think about. So, guys, I'm excited to be here developing faith with you. And I want to know, are you excited about developing more faith in your life? Are you excited about having more belief in your future, in your business, and the possibility that exists for you to go forth and have more abundance? And if you are, I want to hear you express that excitement, energy, faith, enthusiasm into the phone as I unmute the lines, right? I love you guys. Who's got the definite purpose self-confidence formula ready for us today? Star 6 and come on out.
Hey, Paul, it's Amy.
Hi, Paul. Good morning. It's Hyacinth.
Hey, I think I heard Amy first there, Hyacinth, if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
Thank you both for jumping out. Amy, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
What's up, Las Vegas Sunshine?
What's up? Good morning. All right, let's do this. Major definite purpose. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent and continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. And fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud at least once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become an even more self-reliant and successful person. O Divine Providence, I ask not for more riches, but more wisdom with which to use the riches that you gave me at birth, consisting in the ability to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I may desire. Amen.
Amen, Amy. I love and appreciate you so much and believe in you, and I know that everyone else does. But let's find out for sure. Hey, do you guys and gals believe in Amy? If so, let's let her know. You guys are awesome. I think I heard Joe chanting Amy. That's so cool. Okay, guys. Well, hey, let's get to work. We are on page 495 of 1170. In the book, The Law of Success, we're learning about haberdashery, suits, ties, and interesting purchasing experiences of Napoleon Hill as we're learning about imagination and sales and other important lessons here. So let's jump right into this. Dr. Hill writes, on Broad Street in the city of Philadelphia, there is a fruit shop where those who patronize the store are met at the door by a man in uniform who opens the door for them. He does nothing else but merely open the door, but he does it with a smile, even though it be a carefully studied and rehearsed smile, which makes the customer feel welcome even before he gets inside of the store. This fruit merchant specializes on specially prepared baskets of fruit. Just outside the store is a big blackboard on which are listed the sailing dates of the various ocean liners leaving New York City. This merchant caters to people who wish baskets of fruit delivered on board departing boats on which friends are sailing. If a man's sweetheart, or perhaps his wife, or a very dear friend happens to be sailing on a certain date, he naturally wants the basket of fruit he purchases for her to be embellished with frills and trimmings. Moreover, he is not necessarily looking for something cheap or even inexpensive, all of which the fruit merchant capitalizes. He gets from $10 to $25 for a basket of fruit, which one could purchase just around the corner, not more than a block away, for from $3 to $7.50, with the exception that the latter would not be embellished with the 75 cents worth of frills, which the former contains. This merchant's store is a small affair, no larger than the average small fruit stand store, but he pays a rent of at least $15,000 a year for the place and makes more money than 50 ordinary fruit stands combined, merely because he knows how to display and deliver his wares so they appeal to the vanity of the buyers. This is but another proof of the value of imagination. The American people, and this means all of them, not merely the so-called rich, are the most extravagant spenders on earth. But they insist on class when it comes to appearances such as wrapping and delivery and other embellishments, which add no real value to the merchandise they buy. The merchant who understands this and has learned how to mix imagination with his merchandise may reap a rich harvest in return for his knowledge. And a great many are doing it, too. The salesman who understands the psychology of proper display, wrapping, and delivery of merchandise, and who knows how to show his wares to fit the whims and characteristics of his customers, can make ordinary merchandise bring fancy prices. And what is more important still, he can do so and still retain the patronage of his customers more readily than if he sold the same merchandise without the studied appeal and the artistic wrapping and delivery service. In a, quote, cheap, close quote, restaurant where coffee is served in heavy, thick cups and the silverware is tarnished or dirty, a ham sandwich is only a ham sandwich, and if the restaurant keeper gets 15 cents for it, he is doing well. But just across the street where the coffee is served in dainty, thin cups on neatly covered tables by neatly dressed young women, a much smaller ham sandwich will bring a quarter, to say nothing of the cost of the tip to the waitress. The only difference in the sandwiches is merely in appearances. The ham comes from the same butcher and the bread from the same baker, whether purchased from the former or the latter restaurant. The difference in price is very considerable, but the difference in the merchandise is not a difference of either quality or quantity so much as it is of atmosphere or appearances. People love to buy appearance or atmosphere, which is merely a more refined way of saying that which P.T. Barnum said about one being born every minute. It is no overstatement of the fact to say that a master of sales psychology could go into the average merchant's store where the stock of goods is worth, let us say, $50,000, and at very slight additional expense make the stock bring $60,000 to $75,000. He would do nothing except coach the salespeople on the proper showing of the merchandise after having purchased a small amount of more suitable fixtures, perhaps, and repackaged the merchandise in more suitable coverings and boxes. A man's shirt, packed one to the box in the right sort of box with a piece of ribbon and a sheet of tissue paper added for embellishment, can be made to bring a dollar or a dollar and a half more than the same shirt would bring without the more artistic packing. I know this is true, and I have proved it more times than I can recall. To convince some skeptical merchant who had not studied the effect of proper displays, conversely stated, I have proved many times that the finest shirt made cannot be sold for half its value if it is removed from its box and placed on a bargain counter with inferior-looking shirts. Both of which are examples prove that people do not know what they are buying, that they go more by appearances than they do by actual analysis of the merchandise they purchase. This is noticeably true in the purchase of automobiles. The American people want and demand style in the appearance of automobiles. What is under the hood or in the rear axle they do not know and do not really care, as long as the car looks the part. Henry Ford required nearly 20 years of experience to learn the truth of the statement just made, and even then, despite all of his analytical ability, he only acknowledged the truth when forced to do so by his competitors. If it were not true that people buy appearances more than they buy reality, Ford never would have created his new automobile. That car is the finest sort of example of a psychologist who appeals to the tendency which people have to purchase appearance. Although, of course, it must be admitted that this particular example, the real value of the car, in this particular example, the real value of the car actually exists. And then there's a quote here on the last page. It says, "Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never the result of selfishness." And then the next chapter we've got, guys and gals, is enthusiasm. So we just finished up the law of imagination, and sort of like an extension of what we were talking about yesterday, right, about how the packaging really matters and how when people see our material, whether it be a website or, as Bill Moyse was talking about, whether it be how we're dressed, people tend to pass judgment and make decisions based on the packaging, right? Even maybe more so than what's on the inside, which is a little bit of a shame because, you know, I think what's on the inside is super important too. But isn't that a great lesson for all of us to realize that if we've got something that is really good on the inside, whether it be a product, a service, whether it be us, right? Many of us are really good on the inside, aren't we? Many of us have, you know, great qualities and characteristics, you know. We're honest, we're loyal, we love people, we believe in people, we follow the laws of success. We've got purpose, we've got confidence, we've got faith. We save our money, you know, for a rainy day and also to invest so we can build our freedom. We've got imagination, these first five laws of success, all of that we've got on the inside. But isn't it important that we have some good packaging on the outside so that people can have a chance to get to the inside? Isn't that important? You know, I used to mistakenly and foolishly think, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, what's on the inside, that's the only thing that matters. And, you know, you can make an argument that's true. You know, you can make an argument for that it is what's on the inside that is most important. However, again, if people don't get to what's on the inside because what's on the inside is poorly packaged, then we're not doing as much good in the world as we could be, are we? So a lot of room for improvement for me on this. And maybe for you too. So I'm just excited to continue to learn with one another and mastermind. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines here. We'll jump into enthusiasm tomorrow. And, yeah, we'll jump into that tomorrow. So keep in mind it's not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, less leaders are part of our call. Brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines and ready to learn from each of you. One second. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Bill Moist.
Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. Hey, Paul, I want to tell you, I have a problem with this call. My problem is, before you ever start reading material, I have two or three things to talk about that come to mind when you're talking about just your introduction. So, just got too many things in this call. So, anyway. it's interesting about packaging, you know, because, Henry Ford said, you can have any Model T you want along with black. Any car Model T you want as long as it's black. Well, you know, the Ford Motor Company started a whole new market segment that never existed before, and that was the Ford Mustang in 1964. And all a Ford Mustang was a Ford Falcon, which was a very frumpy utilitarian car, and they put a two-door chassis on it that was kind of stylish. And it was the same basic car on the inside, but on the outside it looked really cool. And I remember I had a neighbor whose dad bought one, and I thought, man, he's the coolest guy in town. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the earlier ideas. You're talking about our thoughts and our thinking and negative thinking. And, you know, I have a couple of friends right now who claim the devil's attacking them. And maybe he is, but, you know, they're just dwelling on negative thoughts. And I happened to pick up Outwitting the Devil today, and the chapter where my bookmarker was Definiteness of Purpose. So Outwitting the Devil is all the stuff we talk about here every day, about thinking, the way we think about things, the way we react to things. I mean, that's the big deal. How do you react to something? Something can be a minor difficulty, and you have just a huge negative reaction. So, but I want to talk, the last thing I want to mention was about God speaking to us. That's kind of the antithesis of the negative thinking. And I think God talks to us all the time, but maybe we don't always listen. So I have a good friend who's just one of those amazing people that's done so many things, but he's also a movie producer. And so he was producing a movie in Dallas, and he lived west of Dallas. So one morning he's going to work, and he's kind of in a hurry because he's got a deadline on a big project. And he drives past a city called he drives through a city called Grapevine. He gets all the way to Dallas, and he's got the sense he's supposed to go back to Grapevine and go to a certain restaurant. He thought, man, I just got to work, you know. He could have talked himself out of it, but he didn't. He went back to Grapevine. And with this restaurant they knew, and he walked in, and there was a big group of people in the back that were gathering at a party, and then there was a man sitting at the bar by himself. And so he sat down with the man at the bar. The bartender said, what do you want to drink? He said, whatever he's having. So he started a conversation with this guy, and he asked him what he was doing, and he said, well, I'm getting drunk enough so I can go home and kill my wife and my boss. And so he asked him what had happened, and this guy worked for this landscape company. He had a big job at the end of the day that his boss gave him. But he got done early and went home. His boss was in with his wife. And he was so furious that he decided he wanted to kill him. So they had this conversation for quite a while. And finally, you know, he was able to convince the guy that wasn't really a very good idea. He'd be ruining a lot of lives. So they went to the car, and the man gave him his pistol. So, you know, that's just – there's things we can know that we can't know. And if we're not listening, we won't know those things. So, anyway, I love all of y'all. This is such good material. And you all have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you all Monday.
Wow, Bill, thank you for sharing that. That's incredible. And, you know, yeah, going back to, like, the material of Think and Grow Rich, there's a whole chapter on the sixth sense, right? And he talks mm-hmm. about how, like, opening the door to the temple of knowledge, you know? And that seems to me to be one of, like, the crowning rewards of, you know, the study and application of the things that we study and apply. Appreciate that, Bill. Love you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
It's Caro.
Hey, Caro. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm elephant happy and hippopotamus. No, I'm hippopotamus happy and elephantly excited.
That's awesome.
Hello, everyone. I'd just like to say, from me reading the Major Definite Purpose yesterday and the
self-confidence formula when I said by the first day of now I will have in my possession wow monthly residual income. I just got some monthly residual income of $500. So I'm really excited. And I just also like to say I bought a little poster that says life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And that's my share.
Wow. Hold on. Let me say woohoo to the $500 residual income. That's so exciting and awesome quote you shared with us. Thank you, Caro.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your sunshine. Hippopotamously happy and elephantly excited. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Hey, Paul. It's Veronica in New York.
Hey, Veronica. Good morning.
How are you? I wasn't going to come on this morning, but there was this big pause, and I guess it was saying go ahead and say it because I'm thinking of something, but I didn't want to say it. I wanted to ask if anybody has any things that they implement when they seem to have lost all the mojo. Like last year, all kinds of good things were coming, and a few good things came this year. But on New Year's Eve, before the new year came in this year, a big, like $800 knock hit my budget. $800 a month knock hit my budget. And I've been trying to pull myself through it. You know, I've been, more, you know, giving myself empowering conversation, and I've been looking and implementing new things, and I've gotten a little bit of one-time-only success kind of thing. But how do you keep up the moment? How do you keep your drive and your encouragement, your self-encouragement? What, did somebody tell me something to do? I'm running out of ideas. I'm on the social network. I've been calling people. I've been going out and socializing and interacting and things, and I just need some more clues.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, if anyone has some thoughts on that, feel free to come out and share. Appreciate you asking that, Veronica. Yeah, pass. Go ahead, sir.
I guess she wanted me to answer that question, huh? Paul, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm always blessed and highly favored. Well, a couple of things since she put it out there. One thing I do is stay in the power of now. You know, 2 minutes ago doesn't matter because it's over. 2 minutes from now can change as soon as you embrace what now is. So staying in the power of now, always embracing the gift, which is the present. As you go through different things, everyone has ups and downs. No one's perfect. But what I've learned to do is I do not make any decisions that matter without prayer and meditation. Because I say prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening to God. One thing I do to keep myself also always in a place where we can keep pushing is having a good routine. I added something from what we started here. So I have the 30 squared movement, which is 30 minutes of reading, 30 minutes of exercise, 30 minutes of meditation, and 30 minutes of a positive audio. So you always have things going into your head. And then making sure that the people you are talking to enhance your life. What are you talking to people about, and why are you talking to them? If they are not people that you can either use for great energy, for pushing your dream forward for great laughter, anything that keeps your vibration level up. So laughter, love, smiling, you know, if you're still stuck in a funk and you can't push yourself out of it, do something for someone else. We're all connected. You know, it can be something as small as walking down the street and giving strangers high fives and seeing the smile on their face and letting that smile become contagious. There are many different ways that you can always push forward. But the greatest thing is to know that whatever you're going through right now, you know, God, the universe, infinite intelligence, however you choose to call it, doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Every challenge that is given to you is a test in your testimony. And we cannot spell testimony without going through tests. So take the time to truly enjoy the test and know that it is something that is making you better, stronger, and moving you towards your dream bigger, faster. So when you embrace it in that manner, nothing is too much and everything is a blessing. All things are blessings, even if the blessing is just a lesson. And that's how we remain blessed and highly favored. Love you guys. Oh, don't forget your gratitude book. If you ever get stuck, you know, you can write in your gratitude book or you can use Bob Proctor's line. I am so happy and grateful that, and you can fill it in with anything and just use that for 2 to 3 minutes and you'll find yourself in a brand new happy state. Love you guys.
Love it. Great thoughts, Pat. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Amy in Vegas.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to answer what Veronica, or I had an answer for what Veronica was talking about. A couple days ago, I started listening to Abraham Hicks, or Esther Abraham Hicks, and I didn't really know anything about her. And anyway, one of the things that she suggests when you're feeling down is that you constantly are reaching for good feeling thoughts. And I think a way to do that is to, in meditation, and meditation's been really big in my life since last year. It's been life-changing, so I'm a big advocate for that. But feeling, I think that's really important. You know, sitting, you need to sit down, or for me, this is what I do, but I'll sit down, even in the moments when things are crazy and you just don't feel like it, you really need to do it. And I mean, I've done that, had tears in my eyes and just like, okay, Amy, you have to sit right now and you have to get quiet. And I do that. And then I think of good feeling thoughts, you know, things that make me happy, things that bring a smile to my face. Maybe it's that I'm picturing a scenario that I'm walking on the beach and the sun is warming my entire body. I can feel it hitting me, my skin, and I can see the sand looks like diamonds from the sun sparkling off of it. And it just, I see the people out in the water and it just brings this smile to my face. And, you know, I start thinking things like that. Or I think of a time when I was really happy, you know, maybe laughing about something or whatever, but I always put that feeling behind it because that's the really powerful piece. You can't forget that. And also don't be lazy with your imagination. Really think about these things and get that feeling behind it. And I think that that really helps a lot. And because we're, you know, energy is a vibration and we want to be on a high vibration. And if we're not, I think that's the way to do it, is to stop for a minute and start feeling good. So that was the one thing I wanted to say. And one other thing I wanted to bring up kind of about the advertising and packaging. A lot of times here in Vegas, we get flyers on our doors and I always get them. They're usually thin pieces of paper or whatever, and I just throw them in the trash or whatever. Well, last week there was one on my door and I went and grabbed it. And it was like a nice piece of cardstock and it had beautiful, you know, printing on it, great advertising. And it's for house cleaning. I clean my own house, but I still saved that advertisement because it was so nice. It just looked nice and it was appealing to me. And so I kept it thinking, maybe I will call this company at some point and utilize their services just purely off of that advertising. They took the time. It looked like they spent a little bit extra money you know, did this beautiful cardstock advertisement. So I think definitely the packaging makes a difference. So those were just my two thoughts for today. I love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Awesome thoughts, Amy. Thank you so much. Sure appreciate you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul, it's Hyacinth.
Again.
Hey, Paul, it's Lori.
Hyacinth. Hey, all right. I heard Hyacinth, another gal, and then Lori, I think, in that order.
Okay, good morning, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I really enjoy and appreciate all the great tips that you're getting here, and based on what Veronica is, you know, the responses to Veronica and so on. But I want to go back to what Carol said earlier. I really like that quote that she shared with us from George Bernard Shaw. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And it ties in beautifully what you spoke about earlier, Paul, when you talked about the garden spot. We really have to be conscious that we are, or we are supposed to be creating ourselves all the time. There's no end. And to do that, it means finding self-improvement developments like what we are doing on this call. Something that comes up for me after listening to Veronica is when we are in that process, it's always, or not always, but sometimes we have periods where we are uncomfortable. I think it's because we are growing, and, you know, there's the term growing pains. With any growth, there's comfort. There are things that come at you, and what's important is that you find the tools, as people are sharing paths and Amy, everybody sharing those tools that you can use to help you in that growth process. Because for me, at any rate, what happens is anytime I'm involved in any kind of process like this, you know, you have moments when you have introspection, when you go deep within yourself, and sometimes things are uncomfortable because you're realizing truths that you probably didn't see before. And so the process brings discomfort because it involves change. So if we understand that there are times when we are going to be uncomfortable because we are creating our life and we are changing, it will help us to understand that this is a part of the process, and now all we have to do is to reach for the tools that we need to help us to get through those times when it feels like we are overwhelmed or we are in any kind of discomfort. So I just wanted to share that because I know I'm going through it. You know, there are goals I set, and sometimes when you set goals for yourself, you have to change to be able to meet those goals. And in the process of changing, things come at you that are uncomfortable. So if we understand that, then we'll embrace the discomfort, as I'm part of saying, embrace the discomfort, understand it, and just get the tools we need to help us through it. Just wanted to share that. Thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.
Wow, so true. Thank you, Hyacinth. Who is the second lady that jumped out right before Lori?
It was Caro. Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Caro.
Yeah, go ahead, Caro. We hear you.
Okay. Suggestions for having income come in. I'm sure you have a lot of things which you no longer have use for, and I used to do this all the time when I was short with rent. I would just put all the stuff that I knew I didn't want anymore, and I would make between $50 to about $200 just selling my junk. And the other thing is Craigslist always has all kinds of part-time jobs, which I did that too, being an actor. You still need to have money coming in. You just find the jobs that you look Craigslist Help Wanted section. Look at all the jobs. There are jobs which are there which you like to do. I've done catering. I've done assistant. I've done house cleaning. I've done helping people clear out, just on and on, little jobs to, you know, have money come in. And my third thing is The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. He has the book, the devotional, and the journal, very good and very helpful. And also, when I'm very, very down, I just read Psalms out loud. It takes away the stress, the tension. I'm calm, I'm back to myself, and I'm not wigging out. And that's my share. Thanks.
Awesome share. Thanks, Caro. Lori, good morning. How are you?
Very cool. Great. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for your patience.
Oh, good. Okay, oh, no worries at all. This has been awesome. And, you know, everybody, as they're saying these fantastic ideas for getting back, getting your groove or your mojo back on, I think is what she was saying might have been lost. I just, you know, they're all fantastic ideas. I think the greatest thing that helped me to realize that that we have to move, that we have to make it happen, you know, Pass and Amy, they're all talking about actions we have to take. And I wish it was my own saying, but it wasn't. It's just this awesome statement of the generator doesn't create, you know, it doesn't already have energy. It has to create it. We have to generate the energy. And when I heard that, I realized, okay, I can't just wait for these feelings to come. I have to create them, like was said also. You have to create them. We have to make them. So I hope that helps you. I just, I know for me, hearing that, oh my goodness, I have to generate it. It was like an eye-opener for me. So anyway, I love you guys all, and I appreciate everything that you're sharing. And I'm just taking massive notes and just loving it. So thank you again.
Love it. Thank you, Lori. And love and appreciate you so much. You're just amazing. Really, you are. Thank you for being you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hello, Paul. This is Latasha Lanier from Pennsylvania. Hello, Thinking Grow Rich Mastermind family. And I would just like to share today.
What the hell,
dude? What happened?
Latasha, let me clear the line for you real quick.
Oh, okay.
Latasha, Star 6, come on out.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay, great. Yes, I just want to give a little share in response directly to Veronica. I've been in my business, it'll be a year next month. So I've been super excited from day one, and I have my sons involved with me, which is very important to me because we're building a family legacy, and I wouldn't put them in any situation that I didn't think that was going to be rewarding not just for themselves and our family, but to others as well. And I said, I'll let you say this. This past week has been a little emotional for me because people very, very dear and true to my heart had just an overall thing to say about multi-level marketing in general. And I just felt like coming from these two people who I thought would support me the most, you know, their words weren't just as, you know, weren't so encouraging. And, you know, I don't have to defend the business that I'm in because the business stands for itself. And I know we're doing a great service, you know, for all of mankind. So I don't have, you know, I didn't feel that I needed to defend my company, my organization, or MLM, or network marketing in general. But what I try to do is to, you know, educate people who are not aware of what this form of opportunity and, you know, being an entrepreneur, with all of the blessings it can bring to yourself and as well as others. I just try to let that resonate with them. But, you know, I did have a few moments, you know, and I usually don't get in that slump like that. You know, and we all have goals that we're trying to reach, and I see myself going towards that goal, and I'm doing the best that I can, but I had a moment, and I shed a couple tears or two, and I'm not a fan of pity parties, because I take everything to the Lord, my almighty God, and I talk with him, and I have that close relationship with him, because that is what truly matters. But I just wanted to say, when I had that moment, I went on my phone because I keep a lot of my important information on my smartphone, of course, and I do all my business and all, and I keep all my books and my Bible and everything. And I went to this one book that I really forgot that I had downloaded from the internet, and it was called, let me see here, if you could just bear with me for one moment. I have it here, yes. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. I don't know if anyone has read this book. It's by Dr. Shad Helmsetter. And he's an author of How You Can Excel in Times of Change. And like I said, coming from, you know, the regular 9-to-5 and to being an entrepreneur and being in multi-level marketing, you know, it's different. And you really have to have the mindset. That is why I'm in on this call, you know, to make that transition and to get my mind where it needs to be, because you have to be a certain type of person because, you know, there's so much that you have to bring into this in order for it to be successful. So I recommend that book. And I love the first couple of pages, actually, even being on all these calls, we make our affirmations, and we already know. But I wrote something down that particular day after reading just maybe the first couple of pages. And I said that I was going to do this one thing. And then I went on with my day because I try not to let everything just bring me down. I'm not going to let one situation or one person bring me down because I'm going to be my own sunshine when it's raining. You know, that's just what I tell myself. And like I said, I take it to God first. So I went on about my day, and something happened at the bank, and there was a little confusion. And I said, you know what? Something great is going to come out of this. I know it is. I made a mistake. I overlooked something, but it was corrected. And I said, something awesome is going to come out of this experience. So I came home about to get on a meeting with my company, and I received a call from back home. I'm originally from Maryland. I live in Pennsylvania now. So something told me just take the call. And by taking that call, which I don't let anything usually come in between my meetings unless it's my family's business, you know, that's very important. I took the call, and it was my new partner. He wanted to join my business. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, whenever you start to doubt or question, you know, just stay and remain true to who you are and understand what your why. Know what your why is. Why did you take on this? You know, because this is for people who really are passionate about what they're doing, and others may not get it, you know, and sometimes people that are in our organization, they may go different, choose to take a different path, and that may have a substantial effect in our earnings, you know, and, you know, and I also try not to get too comfortable with a certain lifestyle as well, just off the top, because you never know. I've been in the mortgage business, you know, it has its ups and downs. What they say in the mortgage business is that you never count your chickens before they hatch. So I always try to just say, you know, if this were to happen, will I still be good? But I just wanted to give a little share, and I hope that inspired someone, you know, and just keep pushing forward, all of us. You know, like I said, I had my moment, and I was surprised about that. But it just let me know that I'm human, and, you know, I kept pushing, and light was at the end of that tunnel. So thank you, and God bless to all.
Awesome share. Thanks, Latasha.
You're welcome.
Hey, Paul.
Very encouraging.
Chanel.
Who's next? We got 5 minutes left.
Hey, Paul. It's Chanel.
Hey, Chanel. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family. I just wanted to say what I do when I'm down, I do what Bob Proctor recommended that I do like years ago, and that was read in the chapter on persistence in Thinking Grow Rich every day. Like I usually know when I'm starting to feel a little bit discouraged, I haven't been reading in that chapter. That chapter really helps to uplift you and really bring you back to recognizing that if you keep going, you will eventually get out of whatever you're in and you'll move forward. So that's it, guys. Love you.
Hey, Paul, it's Blaze.
Love it. Thanks, Chanel. Appreciate you. Blaze, what's up, man?
What's cracking, brother, man? How are you, bro?
Good to hear your voice, man. Long time no hear.
Indeed. It's good. It's good to be on with the Think and Grow Rich family here. It's always such a pleasure to know that Paul Hutchings and the fam, they are going to be here no matter what. You know, as a matter of fact, that dovetails into consistency and persistency and establishing a DMO. Here is the bottom line, folks. Network marketing is hard. It's tough because what, in effect, you're really going against the grain. If you look around, you understand that society in general conditions people to go out and get a job. Now, that's not good. That's not bad. It just is. And you, on a personal basis, are going against the grain and say, hey, you know what? I may have a job, but I want more out of life. And because I want more out of life, guess what? The only way to get more out of life is that you have to become more. The only way that you're going to become more is by adding value to yourself. And the way that you add value to yourself is by taking consistent and persistent action. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. But as long as you have your DMO, your daily method of operation, and you have a very, very clear goal in mind, you have to be goal setting all the time. You have to be taking daily action. You have to come to the table with a quiet assurance that this is going to happen no matter what. It's not your job to convince people. Those who are convinced are of the same opinion still. The only thing that they can do is shake your confidence. So, like for myself, on a personal basis, I came online in September of 2009. Since September of 2009, I have yet, literally, to speak to anyone about network marketing offline. Now, other people, they may do the offline-online thing. For myself, I don't really like it because when I did offline marketing, I was really bad at it. As a matter of fact, I sucked horribly bad at it. But I understood that if I could develop myself as a leader, that if I could develop myself as a person, that I would become more attractive, and that the people who were already interested in creating income and creating leverage online, they would see me, they would see the content that I put out, and they would be attracted to me. So don't spend your time trying to convince people. You're only going to make them mad at you, and quite frankly, you are going to sour a relationship. Stay focused on creating value in yourself. Take the time to write down a DMO. This is so utterly, incredibly important, your daily method of operation, and then you stick to it. Period. End of story. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. You just do the work. You do the work, and over a period of time, you will become that person that other people look up to and that they want to join, because guess what? You have value. You're a leader. First, you become a leader in your mind before you could ever become a leader in the outer world. Back to you, brother.
Love you, John. Appreciate you, man. It's really, really, really good to hear your voice. We'll have to catch up soon. Love to hear how you've been, what you've been up to. Guys, it's been a great call. Hey, I appreciate you. And, I think a lot of this boils down to, what Dr. Hill teaches us. Have a purpose. Have a goal. And be anxiously engaged in learning and taking action to bring that goal into pass can really solve a lot of our challenges, I think. So I love you guys. Thanks for lifting and teaching and supporting me. Get out there, make it an awesome day. Go for your dreams, and we'll see you all back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Never give up.
Good to hear from you, Chad Clay.